This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 8th, 2018. The second Sunday of Easter, or Divine Mercy Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Now the company of those who believed were of one heart and soul. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We find ourselves on the Sunday of Divine Mercy. Follows on the footsteps of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just like the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord rising from the dead, it's not there for us to think about or ponder in our heads. It is for us to understand that through his resurrection we live. Through his resurrection we have eternal life. It is something objective. It is something real. We hear so often about divine mercy. We have the image. We have Jesus, I trust in you. Do you really? Do you really? You can tell if you do or if you don't, because the divine mercy, that grace that is poured out upon us by virtue of our baptism into the Catholic Church, we have to understand that it is not something subjective. It is not something abstract. It is something that we must live. It says in that first reading today, great grace was upon them all. The divine mercy hovers over the apostles and the early believers, that fledgling church. That reading is not an ideological reading. It is not a reading that is supposed to be for us prescriptive on how we live. There's a big difference between descriptive and prescriptive. Descriptive means something is being described for you. Prescriptive means you must do this. This is a descriptive reading. It is not a reading that talks about communism or socialism in the early church. The reason that we're even talking about anything temporal, the giving and the taking away of it, is the fact that, as it says, great grace was upon them all. These men and women are living the way they do because of the grace that has been poured upon them by our Lord Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit. Grace has been upon them. And what happens when you receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is to understand that what he wants of us is a solidarity, a unity. Not with everybody walking the face of the planet, but first and foremost for ourselves, the body of faith, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, of which we speak every time we say the creed. This is the divine mercy. When we start reorienting ourselves away from the temporal to the spiritual, when we look at that first reading, it is not, as I said, an ideological presentation. It's not socio-political. If you want to join a group that's a social justice organization, couple blocks down the street, the Salvation Army's down there, okay? They're a social justice organization. The Catholic Church is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Catholic Church is for the salvation of individual souls who become part of that body, and if they live in faith and obedience as an integral part of that body, bearing fruit, eternal life with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Catholic Church is. Not a social justice organization, but an organization, the body of Christ, that will provide as much as it can for everyone. But the scriptures themselves say, It must start with the household of faith. There are some commentators who like to look, this is the beginning of the monastic life where everybody lives without things. No, it's not. No, it is not. It's about an apostolic life. Being an apostle, a messenger of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever your vocation in life may be, it's got to be, as a Catholic, apostolic. It's got to be real. Not something that you talk about, not something that you think about, not something that you keep in your own four walls at your house. It's got to be something that you live as an integral part of your life. That's what this reading is about. It does not say that now the company of those who believe were of one heart, because if our heart goes out, we can give to just about anything. It said they are of one heart and one soul, temporal and spiritual unity. Solidarity. It is the ideal situation. It is, I said, not prescriptive. Because if God says, you need to join the Catholic Church and sell all that you have and put it in one big pot, everybody's in a different place spiritually. That would keep a whole lot of people from coming into the church. But that's not what the church is about. The church is about your eternal salvation. It's not about monastic living. It's not about communism or socialism. What it's about is every believer in the Catholic Church being willing to do what is necessary for the good of the church. This is the ideal situation. Unfortunately, we are sin-cursed and fallen, and we are all, most of us, are not in an ideal spiritual situation. So to have this ideal that has been presented to us is something that we need to think about. It's something that we are to strive toward, not necessarily live right here and right now. It's a reorientation between the things that are above from the things that are below. This is not an ideological reading. It is showing us where we need to go. It's showing what we need to do for others, particularly Catholics, and for society collectively. It's very practical. Practically speaking, collectively and individually. Collectively, as a society. We have to understand, first and foremost, that it would be a very happy society if everybody was oriented toward giving to those who are afflicted and in want. Hold that thought about afflicted and in want as opposed to just people who ask. Hold the thought. It would be a happy society, particularly a happy Catholic Church, if everybody was on this sheet of music. And we should always be striving to be on the same sheet of music, but unfortunately, particularly in our day, we are not. It would be a happy society if the ideal was present. We need to strive for it. We need to start as individuals. We need to start as a parish. But collectively, things would be very, very well if this ideal was manifest. When we look at this, it's again, as I said before, a reorientation against things material to the things heavenly. If you'll notice in the reading, it does not one place say that everybody sold everything they had and gave it. No. It says, and I quote, the owner of lands and the owners of houses. If you will note, both of those are plural. Lands, houses. How many people need more than one house? I'm not talking about you get a summer house and all this kind of stuff. This is not, again, an ideological presentation. But we do see that it is people getting rid of their excess. When other people are afflicted and in want, not just giving because, not that we want everybody to be equal, it's appreciating God's blessings. Everything that you have materially, you have been given to use. To use. Not to hoard. Not to store up where moth and rust corrupt, as the scriptures say. It's to be used. That doesn't, he says we shouldn't be putting away for our retirement. We shouldn't store. No, I didn't. That's using the stuff. It's using it so you are fended for later on in life. It's a proper use for things, but it's to be used, not collected, not hoarded, as I said. Because there are other people out there who don't have things. They are afflicted. It is through no fault of their own. And if you've got extra, it is incumbent upon you to give to them. As I said, society would be in a good position, the church would be in a good position if we live that. Because to live the opposite is tremendously problematic. Because the opposite of unity is resentfulness, envy, misunderstanding amongst one another, self-assertion. And for 28 years, I was a cop. You know, everybody that I ever arrested for stealing or robbing someone else, they had an excuse for it. They were good with it. I don't have that. That doesn't give you the right to take it from somebody else. But all those things, envy, self-assertion, I deserve this, I deserve it. That is the catalyst for disputes and misfortunes. That is a catalyst for every war that's ever been fought on the face of this planet. Somebody wanting something that someone else had. Or to prevent a perceived threat to the stuff that you already have. Millions and millions of human lives have been lost because of this disunity among us. It has got to start in the church. And we can't answer for what the whole church does, but we can answer what the parish does. We are a very good parish when it comes to fending for one another. I, in a holy way, have a pride in that. We need to keep that up because it shows a proper orientation. It shows that the divine mercy lives in this place. We don't talk about it, but we actually live it. This whole deal with mine and yours, those are very cold and at times, like I said, in millions of cases, fatal words. They cost the deaths of people when we get into this intransigent mine and yours kind of thing. When the divine mercy lives in you, your focus is on heaven, and the things in this world become less and less important. Collectively, as I said, it's going to be very good. But as I said, we'll all get into this individually from a practical standpoint. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us about a reorientation. He is not speaking to us about an ideology. He is not speaking to us as the modernist loves to cram down your throat, that the way you get into heaven is to give or give or give. That seems to be the end-all be-all anymore. Give, give, give. Like you read this chapter and it's like all these believers are giving to this and giving to that and giving to that. Where are they giving it? Where do they give it? They give it to the church. They made the apostles the owners and dispensers of it. They brought it and placed it at the feet of the apostles. They didn't give it to this cause that they liked or this person that they liked. They gave it to the church. Again, as I said, that's an ideal situation. Why could they do it? Why would people trust these 12 to do this? Because they were of one mind. They were of one heart and one soul. One apostle didn't have some political agenda and I'm going to take some of the money and use it for this. Or these two apostles didn't say, hey, this is my hobby horse. I'm going to use the money for this. They were all on the same sheet of music. I'm supposed to be the one who stands up here and tells you to give to the church and give to bishop's appeals and give to this and give that. You know what? I'm hard pressed. I'm hard pressed to do so anymore because it's not the ideal situation. All of our bishops are not on the same sheet of music. There are some dioceses where I would go, I would give a bunch of extra money to that place. And there are other dioceses where I go, should I even be given to that parish? Because they're not on the same sheet of music. There's not a unity of heart and soul. There's political hobby horses. We're not a political organization. We're not a social justice organization. Everything that we do should be for the salvation of souls. These people trusted the apostles enough to bring it to them. You, as a parish, should trust the council of this parish because they're the ones who deal with the temporal things of the parish. You should trust them to make correct decisions. They should all be on the same sheet of music. They shouldn't have various and sundry different agendas. You should be comfortable with that. It's got to start here. We need to appreciate that. Because giving doesn't get you to heaven. I point out quite frequently, there are a lot of philanthropists walking the face of this planet that have given millions and millions of dollars to this charity, that charity, whatever, because they have billions. They give millions, and guess what? When they breathe their last, they will go to hell because they deny God, they deny Jesus Christ. Giving doesn't get you into heaven. Jesus Christ does. And if Jesus Christ's divine mercy is in your life, you will give. Little footnote. And this is pastoral, because this comes up a whole lot, particularly for those of us who live in Central Florida, particularly for those of us who work and live around this particular area. There are a lot of people who come to me, and in homilies, you should deal with pastoral issues as they come up in the readings. A pastoral consideration for a lot of people to come up to me and or come in my office or pull me aside or we're just talking, they feel bad because they say, you know what? These guys who walk up and down the sidewalk and are always asking for this and asking for that, I'm just not comfortable. But I feel like I'm in some kind of a sin because I don't want to give to them. Guess what? Don't feel bad. The scriptures themselves say, if you do not work, you should not eat. Okay? This isn't, you know, Father God gets up there and said, this is his opinion on something. Let's listen to what St. Basil the Great, confessor and doctor of the church. Most saints are saints because they lived a heroic life. Doctors of the church lived a heroic life, and they are teachers of Holy Catholic Church. St. Basil the Great says in this context, and I quote, Distinguish between cases of genuine need and of mere greedy begging. For whoever gives to the afflicted gives to the Lord, and he will be rewarded by the Lord. But he who gives to every vagabond, catch this, cast to a dog, a nuisance indeed from his importunity, but deserving of no pity, on the ground of need. There was a person after the Mass this morning said, oh, I got a problem with that because St. Teresa of Calcutta says, there are different parts of the body. There are different parts of the body. And if you are such a one as St. Teresa of Calcutta, that you just give your entire being to the poor, praise God for it. There are others who use their discernment and go, you know what? That's greed and it's not need. That person is not afflicted. That person just wants what I have. That person's job is asking me for stuff. Use your discernment. If you give to those guys, praise God. Your rewards will be in heaven. He is answerable, or she is answerable for what you give to them. You are not answerable for it. So don't fall into that trap. Well, I don't give to them because they might do this and they might do that. Every place you go shopping does something bad with your money, I guarantee you. Okay? I get my chops busted all the time because I drink Starbucks coffee. Yeah, Starbucks Corporation does a lot of bad things with their money, but guess what? I gave my $3 for a good cup of coffee. Okay? That's what I did with my money. That's what I'm answerable for, not what they do with it. Because if you live your life like that, you're going to grow your own food because there's always something going on with somebody you'll give money. Don't fall into that. Don't try to play holier than thou. Try to one-up me. This divine mercy thing, this is what this is all about. Living the divine mercy practically in this world. And the Holy Spirit uses temporal stuff to get the point across, not some abstract spirituality. In talking about trusting in Jesus, act like it. Act like it. St. John Chrysostom says, love calls forth love. Through the divine mercy, our Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross and died that we may have eternal life with him. That love calls forth love. We should love others, particularly of the household of faith, and we should never, ever allow any of our brothers and sisters to be in want, and we should also try to do as best we can for those who are not our brothers and sisters. We should appreciate what God's done for us. His love should call forth our love. We should manifest the divine mercy. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.